It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I've got to run to keep from high, and I'm bound to keep on riding. I got one more silver dollar, but I'm not gonna let them catch me, no, not gonna let them catch the midnight rider.
Chris McMichael.
Yeah.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I don't often bite my tongue in the open, but I just did. 12:03. Rick Monaco here with you on The Fan. You know how it works. I got you for 5 hours, taking you until 5 a.m. and the warm-up show right here on The Fan. Fliegelman on the other side. Connor still hanging out for a bit. 888-808-1019. And use it, Met fans. Let's go. Because now I've said this a lot, and in moments like this is when you need to really know it and believe it. Playoff baseball's fun. And last night was not fun, I know that. But you have an opportunity tonight. They did not lose this series last night. All is not lost. It is a difficult game. It's a brutal 5-3 victory, a game that you were leading the whole time. And we'll get into it, all the different situations, right? We'll get into how Mendoza handled the eighth inning. We'll get into all the ins and outs of this game, the sixth inning, where they're unable to get a run. And really, that's for me. And I heard some of you calling in as I was driving in listening to Keith. I don't think there's a doubt. We can quibble about how the manager handled the eighth inning. And we can quibble about whether Maton was the guy, having thrown three out of the last 4 days. He looked exhausted. And he's been so good for them. But in that spot there, how much further do you let him go after the home run, right? Whether you bring him in or not, once he gives up the home run, how do you feel about him? Diaz, who hasn't pitched for 1 day, pitched a ton on Monday, to use him for the eighth inning. A lot of situations, a lot of different things that could have happened. Here's the big main thing that could have happened. The Mets could have scored more runs over multiple opportunities in this game. And if we're going to praise this offense, if I'm going to come on after the show yesterday and after Monday's game and talk about, oh, that inning and all the base hits and the battling in the opposite way and, oh, everything they did, oh, everything. If we're going to praise them when they're great and they have these bounce-back innings, which they showed again in this game, where they do bounce back. They get out early with the Nimmo base hit to take a lead. The Churio home run, which again we see in the eighth inning, but the Churio home run in the first to tie it, and then boom, the Mets come right back, and it just felt like, man, this team is relentless. This team won't stop. This team's going to keep scoring runs all day. And instead, they did absolutely nothing. 2 for 11 with runners in scoring position. And more than that, when I talk about the postseason, You got to hit home runs. You got to drive the baseball. And I think it's 14 out of their 15 hits in this series is singles. And on nights where you put it all together and you have the 5-1 rally you did the other night, that's great. That's great. You want to put up five on six singles? That's great. It's hard to do. That's what's been so impressive about the Mets. That's why I'm raving about them last night. Because it's not often in these playoff games that you see those type of rallies with infield singles and ground balls the other way. They said it on the broadcast. It's almost like they're building, knocking down the field into that pattern of just right through that first base and second hole. They're wearing it out. Like, they nothing but base hits the other way, base hits the other way. And that's, you know, good approach. Those are good at-bats, but ultimately, it's tough to continue to score without driving the baseball at all. And they came through, you know, they had multiple opportunities this game. And I can sense it. I can feel it. We've been there for a while. But you can really feel it and sense it right now. Most Met fans are going to be disappointed in how the eighth inning was handled. And we're going to get on the manager, but we love the manager. Manager's manager of the year. Right? I think you could argue that as of right now, Lindor's had a little bit of a quiet series. He's come through with some walks, sacrifice flies, scored some runs. But a little bit of a quiet series for Lindor. But you're certainly not going to get on Lindor. Who's the guy that we're going to get on? Pete Alonso, you can sense it right now, is going to draw the ire of the fan base. And you know what? Rightfully so. Because the guy continues to have zero impact on this team. It is remarkable. He's had good at-bats, right? He had a couple walks in game one. He gets a hit lead in this game. But the double play in the first inning when they have an opportunity to score more, and he hits into a double play and trips over the at-bat in that moment where the throw over to first and he's nowhere to be found. You're like, what the hell's going on? Where was Pete? And as terrible as he is, you know he's not a guy who doesn't hustle. And then you find out, no, it's just Pete being a little bit of the doofy guy he is, and he trips over the bat. But that's a moment where he can't come through. The strikeout in the fifth inning with Nimmo on at second base, flailing at that splitter in the ground. He has done nothing. He has played a brilliant first base, to be fair. He saved Lindor two errors in this game. He made a great play and saved McGill an error the other day, or obviously Severino in this game. Like, he's made great plays with picks in first. He makes the play down the line in the game on Monday that obviously Diaz doesn't cover, but he's been very good defensively, but he has done nothing offensively, nothing. And you can sense it. If tonight's game goes bad, there is one guy that is going to draw the ire. And it's not entirely fair, but he has done nothing. In the middle of this lineup, he has shown he's supposed to be the guy with some pop, and they are 14 out of 15 hits or singles, and it all feels like little cheapies the other way. And it's hard to win like that. But this offense continues to blow opportunities, and none more than the sixth inning. The Mets have an opportunity in the sixth inning with two on and nobody out, and Tyrone Taylor up, and that's going to be one of the decisions in this game, too. We could talk about the eighth inning, but there's a decision right there. And I was listening a little bit to Evan, and he was talking about that Tyrone Taylor's only had one sacrifice bunt in his career. But and you know me. I'm not out there trying to give bunts. I don't like giving outs away, especially two on, nobody out, pitcher in a little bit of trouble. But in that moment, up two runs, looking to pad, because you know that you're probably going to take out your starting pitcher after five innings. You know you're a little light in the bullpen. You know Maton has thrown three out of the last 4 days. You know what you asked of Diaz on Monday. You know where you are in this bullpen. And in that opportunity, in that moment in the sixth inning, that's an opportunity that you have to come through and figure out a way to score. And instead, first pitch fly ball, you don't get any of those runs in. They go 2-for-11 overall. They've got every inning except the third a runner on. You got multiple times with a guy on at second base. And they're just, whether it's Alonso, whether it's Taylor in this game, like, they just could not come through with the big hit. And this offense that has been there time and time again showed up small in this game.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
And you just got the sense as it was going on, it was going to be a tough ask, especially when you pull Manaea early. And that's a question mark of this game. I thought he was pitching enough. What was it? His pitch count was around 85 or so, heading into that sixth inning. You know you're a little light. I felt like he pitched pretty well in this game for the most part. And I would have been confident giving him the opportunity that I gave Severino in yesterday's game. Instead, they go to Garrett. And he does a good job. You go to Stanek. He does a great job. And then we get to the eighth inning. And obviously, they should have done something else, right? But I don't know what the options are. Stanek has not been a multiple inning reliever. You could have stuck with him. I know that's what a lot of people probably wanted to do. He did look good in this game. Looked dynamic. Had that fastball, had the splitter going. You could have went to Diaz for the eighth inning. And here's then, as I'm looking at Fliegelman, I literally just read his tweet as I was heading in. There is an argument to be made. And we saw it a lot with Buck Showalter when Diaz was really at his best. And we've seen it a little bit with Mendoza. I don't know if you could honestly feel like you have Diaz for six outs. I think that's a stretch. I don't know if you can honestly believe the way he had to throw on Monday, only a day later, if you're really going to get six outs out of him. But you could go to him there in the eighth inning and get the top of the order out and feel like, hey, if he gets through it in six or seven to eight, nine pitches, maybe I have him for the ninth. If that's not the case, I'll have to figure it out from there. Maybe I give my offense another opportunity to score some runs. And then it makes it a more easy situation in the ninth inning. There is definitely a scenario where you go to Diaz and then you play it by ear after that. There is no doubt that's a scenario. But I don't know if I hate the decision to go to Maton. I think once he gives up the home run, and I think you've seen this from late inning relievers, whether they're closers, whether they're just one of your top guys, when they come in and immediately give up that home run, you can sense that it's not going to get better from there. And ultimately, I think he's probably going to take him out of the game, but he gets the double play. And once he gets the double play, he feels like, okay, well, now he's settled in. He'll get through the inning. And instead, he gives up the single and then the home run to Mitchell. And I don't think once the game is tied, you can go to Diaz. Because I know you want to win this game. I know. But it's not game seven. It's not win or go home. Tonight is now win or go home. And if you're going to bring in Diaz and then ask him to get out of the eighth and then possibly come into the ninth, and you're going to ask that of him once the game has already been tied, like I saw a bunch of people say, oh, you have to have Diaz up. All right, Maton, but once the home runs hit, you got to bring in Diaz. I don't know if I'm bringing in Diaz into a tie game. I think you have to have Diaz for the lead. So you could have brought him in the eighth. But when you bring him into the eighth, there's two major question marks. One, how effective is he going to be? And two, do I have him for six innings? And then if I don't have him, if I don't have him for six outs, who am I going to the ninth? You might have seen Maton in the ninth inning. So overall, listen, is there always something you can question about the manager when you go into these late inning situations? Of course. And Maton has been great for the Mets. And we talk about, you know, power arms, and that's what you're looking for, the swing and miss type stuff. When you get to these late inning situations, when you get into one game scenarios, you get into playoff scenarios, and Maton is more of the guy who spins it, makes you, you know, get you off balance, and he's not going to blow everybody away. I understand that. But he's been so good for the Mets. I don't know if I had a problem going to him there over my other options. Unfortunately, he looked exhausted. And the guy had thrown three consecutive games with only one day off in between. And it just felt like once he started to get the ball hit hard like that, that's when you try to go to someone else, whether it's Danny Young, whether it's, I don't know, Ottavino. Like, the options aren't great. I don't think you can go to Diaz once the game is no longer in your favor. Once you don't have the lead, especially with the offense performing the way it's performed, I can't waste Diaz knowing I'm going to need him tomorrow, most likely. I could have went to him for the eighth, but I don't know if I'm going to have him for the six outs. And then if I don't, who am I going to in the ninth? Like, these are all tough questions. But ultimately, this game is on the offense. I don't think there's a doubt about it. This offense that's been so good, this offense that's been so resilient, this offense that's different, this offense we've talked about, that I've talked about, that I still have faith in for later tonight, didn't come through in this game and had multiple opportunities. And none more than the sixth inning. That inning is going to be the inning that comes back at you. Because obviously, you get the two guys on. You could pinch hit Taylor. You don't. You get to the situation where they have that weird, you're not sure if they called for the walk or not. And they walk Lindor to load the bases. And Iglesias, who's been great for this team, has an opportunity to come through. And he swings at a pitch 6 inches off the plate inside. Like, that's where the game is won or lost. In these postseason games, you know, it's hard to just get three runs in one inning to start to you know, to be done with your scoring by the third inning and have it be a three-run game. That's a lot to ask. And especially when you pull your starter in the fifth inning, that's a lot of outs out of a tired bullpen to expect three runs to be enough. It's just a lot. And, you know, people are going to get on Pete Alonso, and rightfully so. But you look at it, no one's really driving the baseball. They hit home runs. They hit three home runs. The Mets didn't hit any. And if you look at the playoffs right now, there haven't been that many home runs hit, but the teams that hit them win the game. I mean, that's the difference. The Tigers hit home runs. The Astros didn't. I know I was driving in the game. I didn't see the end of the Atlanta game, but I saw, you know, Higashioka's hitting home runs in both games. They won. You've got to drive the baseball. You can't expect to single them to death for an entire series. And the Mets right now are not driving the baseball. As great as the offense has been, and I've praised them, it's great when you put together six, seven hits and score five runs. It's not always going to happen. And these two-out singles have been great. You're not always going to come through with them. And then we get to the game tonight, which is really what we're going to focus on. I'll let we get break down the game, but I want to talk about tonight's game because you've got an opportunity to go win the game. Quintana on the mound, right? Who do they go to in the lineup now? You got another weak performance from J.D. Martinez. Do you go back to Winker in the starting lineup? Like, what are the question marks for today's game? Because as much as last night was disappointing, and really, it clearly was, and there's a bunch of things to get to, as well as the defensive replacements late in the game that don't allow Vientos to come up in the ninth inning. Like, there's a bunch of different scenarios to get to in this game, and we will, 888-808-1019. But the bottom line is, this offense had a chance to bury this Milwaukee team. This Met team had a chance to bury Milwaukee. They bounce back again in that second inning, and they take the 2-1 lead. And Manaea starts putting up zeros. Even with the one in the fifth. The Mets there in the sixth inning, whether it was the first two guys on before the fly ball from Taylor, or whether it was Iglesias' opportunity with the bases loaded, multiple guys, you know, multiple innings with a guy on second base with an opportunity to drive him in. They had a chance to put this team away because they were begging for it. Let's be totally honest. This team wasn't hitting. This team had a manager that made a major blunder that the night before. This is a team that blew this exact series last year. This is a team that absolutely was primed to be put away. And instead, now you've given them life. And they have this come-from-behind victory, and they get to your bullpen. You know you're not going to see Maton anymore. Hopefully now you have Diaz, and that's part of it, too, that you didn't go to Diaz. Now you've got him for whatever tomorrow. Clearly everything's on the table. You'll have Peterson available either to piggyback a short start from Quintana or possibly to get lefties out late in the game. Like, you have everything on the table for tonight because tonight is a winner-take-all. Tonight is an opportunity still for this team that has shown it every single time, every single gut punch, every single bad loss. This is why we praise them. This is why we praise them. They lose to Atlanta. They go and have a miserable two games in Milwaukee. They win the last game of the season. And then they have the heroics like we have never freaking seen on Monday. They come out. They win the first game of the series. Tonight is an opportunity for this team to prove who they are again. And it's amazing that they're the only freaking team who ever plays game threes in this series. There has been two times in the history of this wild card round that there has been a final and deciding game three, and the Mets have been involved in both of them. And hopefully this one ends different than that one did 2 years ago at Citi Field against the San Diego Padres. But they have an opportunity, and I still believe in them. But ultimately, and we'll get into this game tonight, the offense has got to be better. The offense has got to be better, and we can complain about the bullpen, and we can complain about all we want. The bottom line is they didn't score enough runs. They scored three runs in this game, and they had multiple opportunities, and they're going to have to start driving the baseball. It is tough to get through, and I was listening to Evan a little bit, and we'll get to Pete Alonso because I can sense it. Not that it hasn't been the topic of conversation for a while, but if this season falls short in Pete's possible and most likely now final year as a New York Met, like, I can just sense we are ready to turn on Pete Alonso. And he's done absolutely nothing. And the bottom line is, whether this is going to end tonight, or they get through it, or they head on to the NLDS, onto the NLCS, onto the World Series, they are not going to win this whole thing. They are not going to make it through unless Pete Alonso starts hitting. Like, there's no two ways around it. He has had zero impact on this team. And it's very difficult to foresee the Mets ultimately doing what I do believe they're talented enough to do. It's going to be very difficult if Pete Alonso is going to be happy, and I heard him in the postgame, that he's happy with his bats because he drew a couple of walks, because he's got a first pitch, you know, bloop hit off a broken bat. He's had zero impact. Zero. And to be fair, let's be honest, in this series so far, it's hard to kill him. Other than, you know, a couple really sparkling plays defensively and you feel like his back is better, Lindor's been quiet in this series. And if they're going to get through this game, if they're going to win tonight and move on to play Philadelphia, this is going to be the stars have to show up. And for me, it's three players heading into this game tonight that we're focused on. One, Lindor. Two, Pete Alonso. And three, Edwin Diaz. Those are the three players that the Mets are going to absolutely need. And obviously Quintana, the starting pitcher. But those three players, they're stars, right? They're premium players. The all-world closer with the biggest contract. The first baseman looking for a big contract. And the MVP of the team. Those three players are going to have to come through if they're going to want to win this game later tonight. 888-808-1019. Let's take a quick break. Let's take a quick call before we get to the break, because I want to get to you guys. Jimmy in the Bronx. What's up, Jimmy?
How's it going, Chris?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I've been better, but yeah. I just can't watch this guy bat fourth every game, batting fourth. We got to drop him down. He dropped A-Rod down in a game seven or game five. This guy's not better than A-Rod. He can bat seven because he's giving you nothing. Today, first inning, we had them on the ropes.
Yeah. Well, didn't he bat sixth in this game?
A big blow. What's that?
I don't think he's batting fourth. I think didn't he bat sixth in this game?
No, he batted fourth.
Fifth. He batted fifth in this game.
He's coming up in big spots.
Yeah.
The first inning, we had them on the ropes.
Yeah.
How do you trip over your own bat?
Listen, do you think he's beating that out anyway? Like I know the bat is ugly and it's laughing and you know it's LOL Mets or whatever and it's LOL Alonso and it's just it's an unfortunate situation. I think he hit into a double play no matter where that bat was. But yeah, no, I agree with you. It's a tough spot. And then he comes up in the fifth with Nimmo at second base and he has a miserable at bat swinging at that flailing at that splitter in the dirt. Terrible at bat.
The whole season, you've heard at least one guy carry the team for at least a couple of games, maybe a week. You've heard nothing from this guy.
No?
Nothing. He's done nothing, and he wants to get paid? He's out of his mind. He's like if he even gets a job next year. I mean, I'm sure someone's going to be dumb enough to give him money, but you're going to end up taking a one-year deal like all these other guys.
Yeah,
he's fooling himself.
Yeah, no. Listen, I'm not concerned about how much money Pete Alonso is going to make or where he's going to play next year. I'm trying to figure out how to get him now. But you could sense it, like he is going to be the guy everybody blames. He is going to be the fall guy. If this game doesn't go their way tonight, Pete Alonso is going to be the fall guy for the Mets. There is no doubt about it. And listen, he had a bad game, and he hasn't impacted this team in any way. Like it's hard. It's hard to have the numbers he still had. It's hard to have 30-plus home runs. What do you have, 34 home runs on the season? It's hard to have as many home runs and as many RBIs and hit in the middle of the lineup and play every day and have as little impact as Pete Alonso did this year. It's really remarkable how he was able to accomplish being this invisible in plain sight. It's very difficult. And here he is again. And if we can get that cut, I don't know if you could find it for me. It doesn't have to be right now, Mike. But when asked about how he's feeling offensively, I said, I'm good. I feel great. I feel really good. I've had some good at-bats here, and, you know. You've had some good at-bats, all right? You drew some walks. You got a bloop single off the end of the bat that went shattering across the field with nobody on and two outs. You had an opportunity in the first inning to add to a lead just by driving a ball to the outfield. All right, let's hear Alonso on his thoughts on how he's feeling offensively.
Where do you feel you're at offensively right now?
Feel good, yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm taking pretty decent at-bats. Yeah, I feel really consistent. Just need to keep swinging, and good things will happen. Keep swinging at good pitches, and good things will happen.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'm glad he feels good. I guess it's better than feeling bad, but he's done absolutely nothing. And in this game, he had an opportunity in the first, he had an opportunity in the fifth. But to me, it's that sixth inning. The sixth inning is the devastating one because I really think the bunt there makes a lot of sense. And it's hard for me, I don't want to sound hypocritical because I'm usually against bunts. And Taylor's been so freaking good and giving you so many good at-bats that, you know, you want to play. If they're down, like, even if the game is tied, I might feel different. But the idea, they have a two-run lead there. I just want a couple more runs. I'm not playing for the big inning. If I'm down a run, I know that you can make the argument, oh, you want to tie the game. On the road, I'm not playing for the tie. I want to put up a big inning. But with a two-run lead in the sixth, and I know I'm done with my starting pitcher and I'm getting to the bullpen, I'm just looking for a couple more runs there. If I could figure out a way to get another run or two and make it a 3-4 run lead, that would put me in a much better position. I think Mendy might have missed an opportunity there with a bunt with Taylor. And I trust Taylor. I know he hasn't done a lot. I trust Taylor with the bat to get that bunt down. Now he can still come through, and so could Alvarez, and so could Iglesias after the walk to Nimmo. But I just thought that was an opportunity to get some runs, man. And that's ultimately where this game was lost. I know we're going to want to talk about the eighth inning, and I'll take your calls at it. 888-808-1019. I don't know if Mendy handled it perfectly, but I don't know the options he's got back there. I don't know how good they are. And yeah, once he gives up the home run, that's usually a telltale sign for me, and I'm looking to get him out. I don't know if I'm going to Diaz once the game is tied. And the game's already been tied. And when Maton was throwing warm-ups, I didn't think to myself, how the hell are you going to Maton? I really didn't think to myself, oh, why not Diaz here? I didn't think they were going to him for six outs there. But Cheerio hits two home runs in this game, obviously to start the game, and then in that eighth inning. And they hit home runs, and the Mets didn't. And the Mets stopped scoring after the third inning. And Pete Alonso and J.D. Martinez have really done nothing for a long time now. And I know J.D. had the two-run base hit the other night, so it's not a total killer. But I think I'm putting Winker back into this lineup for tomorrow. I could possibly move Alonso down. But Lindor, Alonso, Diaz. That's who I'm leaning on for tonight's game. Which, by the way, the Mets still have an opportunity to win this series. This series is not over. I still believe in this team. And they have responded every time they've been asked to. We'll find out if they got one more in them. 888-808-1019. All right, quick break. We'll come right back. Continue to take your Mets phone calls. Reaction to a loss in the game two of this wild card series. It sets up a win or go home game three. Must win game tonight. With Quintana on the mound for the New York Mets and an opportunity to move on to the NLDS and the Philadelphia Phillies. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.